Judge Shaw, Injury Law, 732-888-8888.
T-Man Judd.
T-Man Justice.
T-Man Judd.
The injury accident professionals.
First class service.
Judd gets it done. Maximum compensation's our goal. See JudgeShawInjuryLaw.com.
T-Man
Judd Shaw, Injury Law, 732-888-8888.
T-Man Judd. Welcome to Hook, Line, and Splitter, a Jersey Shore Blue Claws podcast. And now, here's your host, Greg Giamborisi.
New season upon us. It's opening week in Short Town. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Greg Giamborisi, and this is Hook, Line, and Splitter, presented by Judd Shaw Injury Law, episode number 59. We're going to talk to the manager of the Jersey Shore Blue Claws. That, of course, is Greg Brodzinski. So looking forward to catching up with Greg, and we'll go over the Blue Claws roster, which was released earlier today on blueclaws.com. You can check that out. We'll go through it a little bit for you a bit later on, but check that roster out, blueclaws.com. Hook, Line, and Splitter is presented by Judd Shaw Injury Law. We understand the toll injuries take on families, and we're here to help. For a free consultation, call 1-866-909-6894. Visit JuddShawInjuryLaw.com. That's Judd with two Ds, ShawInjuryLaw.com. So Blue Claws roster released 18 pitchers, 3 catchers, 7 infielders, and 4 outfielders. Of the 14 position players, 10 of them have previous experience with the Blue Claws. The only ones that don't are infielders Jamari Baylor, Wilfredo Flores, and Nick Ward, who is a new addition to the organization, and outfielder Troy Scheffler. Scheffler is the only 2022 draft pick here, 15th round 2022, out of the University of Maryland. So we'll get into that with Greg Brodzinski coming up in just one moment. Blue Claws will play. We're taping this. We taped with Greg on Sunday. We're taping this part being released on Tuesday, early afternoon. Blue Claws will play Reading at 5 o'clock on Tuesday in Short Town. Tickets just $5. Opening night at the Jersey Shore, presented by Jenkinson's Boardwalk, is scheduled for Tuesday, April 11th, against the Greensboro Grasshoppers, the high A affiliate of the Pittsburgh Pirates. So, Greg Brodzinski, 31 years old, from Bishop Eustis in Pensauken, and he'll manage the Blue Claws for the first time. He'll manage any team for the first time. He was a coach with AAA Lehigh Valley last year, and we get to talk to Greg about his team, his coaching staff, how his first spring training went as a manager, and all that good stuff. So I don't want to keep Greg waiting here, so let's get to it. The manager of the Jersey Shore Blue Claws is Greg Brodzinski.
So we're on the doorstep of opening day, and we're joined by Blue Claws manager Greg Brodzinski. Team's here. Greg's here. Welcome. And how excited are you to get going?
Really excited. You know, happy we made it up here. Team got in yesterday, and a little off day today, get everybody moved into the apartments and acclimated to a little bit colder weather than it was in Florida. And but absolutely excited. You know, I met a lot of the some of the front office and people that work at the stadium today. It was an absolute blast. They seemed like really good people and just ready to go.
How was your first spring managing a team?
It was great. It was really fun. You know, continually learning a lot, like I've talked about in the past, and getting to go through it firsthand. First spring training as a manager was all a fun experience. And I think everything went really well. Biggest thing for me, like going out of spring training, you want everybody healthy and ready for the season. I think organizationally, we did a really good job of that. And, you know, the guys competed really well in the games that we had, and they got better, and, you know, they're ready to go for the season.
I know there's probably like 150 to 200 players, whatever the number is, in spring training, and they send out 120 to play for these 4 teams. How much time did you kind of get to work with this group, and how much were they together as a team?
Yeah, so I think, you know, we did a really good job early in spring training of getting a lot of different players around a lot of different staff members. One, so we could get eyes on the players in different groups and see who we have organizationally. And then I think two is because the more, you know, great coaches that we have internally that can get their hands on our players throughout a spring training is great for the player, because, you know, they'll get coached up by a lot of great coaches, and they're going to learn a lot and from a lot of different people with great experience in the game. This group, I would say, was together the last week or so pretty consistently. And, you know, they weren't told until Friday exactly where they were going in terms of who was making the trip up here to Jersey Shore. So they were together for about a week and playing well. And I think, you know, some guys who've been through some spring trainings had a good idea that that was the group that they're going to be with moving forward. And it was cool to see them gel over the last three or four games that we throw them out there together. And it's a really good group. So I'm excited.
Give the fans some perspective. So you have 150, whatever players, they're coaching staffs from the four different levels, but there are also 10 or 12 coordinators and the player development department. What's the process like going in to kind of place four teams together and, you know, 75 pitchers or whatever it is to the four different teams and all these different, you know, what catchers go with who and all that stuff. You build this big puzzle that everybody gets to see on the field this week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We have some really brilliant minds up top that run the organization, run player development, that take a lot of that work on themselves and really let the coaches coach. And I think, you know, you kind of see in the way player development goes is guys, you know, once they get drafted, they kind of progress through different levels and, you know, wherever they ended up the year before, you know, might've started the year before and finished the season. I think a lot of that can dictate where a guy ends up after spring training, but they also, you know, these guys are out there playing for jobs. They're playing for opportunities to prove that they're better than the level that maybe the organization thinks they're at, or, you know, they should get an opportunity to go somewhere to start the season. So I think a lot of that kind of plays itself out during the spring training process, from, you know, pitchers and catchers reporting to a lot of team and working out to playing games. There's, you know, probably an idea of where guys should go and will end up going, but, you know, these guys have every opportunity throughout spring training to kind of show how they, you know, prepared in the off season for, you know, coming into camp. And like you said, there's a lot of players there. There's a lot of coaches, there's a lot of staff, and it's a great time for kind of everybody to get together. And one of my favorite things is when guys show up for the first time in spring training and you kind of see, you know, first impression visually, you know, did this guy put in the work in the off season? Did he come in and change his body physically? How does he look in the work that he's doing? And I think you kind of go from there. So it's a long process, and there's a lot of people and a lot of input. And I think that's, you know, back to, you know, Preston and the leadership group of player development. They really take the opinions of their coaches into play when making those decisions. And then, you know, ultimately you get rosters out of it. So, you know, I'm excited. It's a great process. It's always fun. And I know these guys are excited.
So we'll kind of touch on these guys in kind of different position groups as best we can. And we'll start with the catchers for no particular reason, but we'll start with them. So all three of them were here with the Blue Claws at one time or another last year. I know Arturo De Freitas, he's a tremendous defensive catcher. Andrick Nava has a good bat. Anthony Kurian played probably the best baseball of his career in Australia, which is another theme about this group. We'll come back to that in a second. And we'll come back to that later. But I know he played great for Chris Adamson in Australia this winter. Seems like you have a really solid veteran catching group.
Absolutely. I'm really excited about all three of these guys. They each bring a little bit different piece to the table, if you would say, behind the plate. Myself being the catcher when I played, I love this group and I'm excited about these three because, you know, like you said, Kurian, really great spring training. Everything that he did in the offseason, a lot of work went into the success that he had in Australia. It didn't just happen by accident. So, you know, we were really excited, you know, that he took that extra step, put in the work with Chris Adamson and his staff in Australia. And carrying that through spring training, he swung the bat great. Obviously, we know what he gives you defensively, and he's a very solid, little bit mature piece back there that I'm excited for him to help bring his leadership to a lot, not only the catching group, but the pitching staff and the team. De Freitas, he's awesome spring training, great catch and throw, really good defensively. Big leadership skills that he gives you, especially from the catching position, and the fact that, you know, he knows English and Spanish and can communicate with every player on the team. He really took a front row seat in a lot of the meetings and talks and different things that came up in spring training to bring the guys together and communicate to all players what kind of was happening. So his leadership, his ability to catch and throw, and the things that he can do intellectually behind the plate and the way he thinks of the game, I think is very forward for this level. So I'm really excited to see that. And then, you know, Nava, fun loving, you know, guy that the teammates love, and he can really swing the bat. So he's going to get his opportunities, and he's going to, you know, be in there to hit for sure. And then defensively, he continues to get better. You know, he showed me a lot during, especially the last few weeks of spring training, in terms of the work that he put in to be better behind the plate, to catch and throw the ball. And even the leadership aspect that Nava's showing has been really exciting. So excited to see what he can do too.
Among your infielders, we'll start with Jamari Baylor. So I've never seen him play. He was a third round pick a couple of years ago, but you know, he's drawn an insane amount of walks. Something like 17% of his plate appearances in his career have been walks. And last year he was around 20% or so, and he can steal some bases. So seems like a kind of an exciting player.
Absolutely. Really excited about Jamari. The fact that he's here, the skill set that he brings, like you said, on base machine, the way, you know, he handles his at bats, and he showed some increased power during spring training, hitting some deep home runs. He's a right-handed guy that swings the bat. He's got great bat speed, gets on base, puts together good at bats, and, you know, he's going to run the bases really well for you. So excited about the talent and ability that he has, and he continues to get better every day. So
last year he played all four infield spots.
Yeah.
With Clearwater. Is he going to bounce around?
More of a transition with him. He's played a lot of first base pretty much all spring training. It's something he's really working on. He's learning day to day, the little things that go into playing first base in terms of positioning, where to be. But we think that position on the field suits him well, and he's really taken to it. So he's going to play a lot of first base while he's with us, and definitely hit.
I know your middle is going to be pretty much Haoyu Lee and Casey Martin, guys that both have experience at this level. What do you look for from those guys? I know in Haoyu Lee's case, he's your youngest player. He just turned 20, but he got a couple of weeks in here last year at when he was just 19. So what do you look for those two guys up the middle?
I think it's, you know, super exciting middle of the infield. Two guys that can really pick it on defense. They have already built such a really good chemistry together throughout spring training. So it's been fun to see that kind of play out on the field. They both have good range. They can, you know, obviously Casey's primary shortstop, Haoyu's primary second baseman, but they're versatile. They can play different positions in the infield. But those two guys up the middle is really exciting on how they're going to catch the ball, they're going to defend, and record a lot of outs for us throughout the season. And then you add in the offensive abilities and the different things they can do in the lineup, you know, with Haoyu just being a pure hitter and his ability to move the ball around the field, hit for power, driving runs, and Casey, is the element of speed that he possesses as a player is something you can't teach. And if he gets on base, you know, it basically like he's on third. So him just continually showing the great at bats he did all spring training, getting on first, and, you know, next thing you know, he's on third, whether it's, you know, on a base hit going first to third, or he steals a couple bases. So he adds that speed element to the lineup that's really fun.
It's got to be cool to have two guys that played in WBC with Nick Ward and, of course, Rickson Wingrove there with Australia.
Yeah, and Coach Tank.
And then Tank, yeah.
Yeah. So it's been really cool to kind of see how those experiences affected those guys positively coming into spring training, coming back from that. You know, Nick being able to go do that, one, he said it was one of the greatest things he's done in baseball. And just to hear, you know, how appreciative he was that he got to do that. And then he talked about, you know, he was playing first base, which was kind of out of the realm of where he usually would play. But when you play first base in the World Baseball Classic, Mike Trout ends up at first base, you know, Mookie Betts is down in first base, and all these all-stars of the MLB are down there, and he gets to have these conversations and talk to them while they're out there. And he said that was one of the cooler things that he's ever experienced. And then obviously Rickson, who I think he said he had something 280 at bats this offseason between playing in Australia and playing in the World Baseball Classic. And
he played really well in the World Baseball Classic too.
He did. So he basically came in midseason form. But no, he talked about how awesome the experience was, and how important it was for Australia and their club, the Australian baseball team, to show that well on a world stage, and the recognition not only within Australia, but then worldwide that it brought. So he was super excited about that for his country.
They played Cuba, and it was a 6 a.m. Eastern in the quarterfinal. Were you guys watching at the complex there?
Absolutely. No question. Always watching those games. Obviously, the guys that we had on the teams, but I was also pulling hard for Tank, and really excited for him to coach over there and know how much he's invested in those guys and that team and all the work behind the scenes that he did as a coach for that team. And to see them do well, it made me really happy.
You have six players that played for him in Adelaide, forget not Team Australia, but in Adelaide over the winter in the ABL. So he's given you, I assume, all the scoop on those guys.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, he's been an unbelievable
pretty resource. Wild to have that many, but it's pretty cool too.
It's very cool. And like I said, he's been an awesome resource to have as like a recency of, hey, how have these guys been doing? What did they work on in the off season? You know, Kurion's a great person to talk about because on the offensive side, our offensive coaches were able to ask Tank, hey, what kind of routines did he build out there? What did he start doing differently? You know, they had their end of their season meeting, and how did he take that into the off season? And it worked so well. So we've talked about all those guys in a lot of different ways. We do a really good job organizationally of knowing our players and knowing them to a lot of detail. And it Tank's just been an extra piece of that, made it really special.
And he found Nick Ward for you, who hit 340 something for Tank over the winter. And hopefully he does that for you.
That's right.
Yeah. In the outfield, you got Jared Carr, who played in Adelaide, Marcus Lee Sang, Leandro Pineda, and then Troy Schreffler, who's the only 2022 draft pick to break camp here. The first three guys, Carr, Lee Sang, and Pineda, were with the Blue Claws at the end of last year. Carr was here the whole year. Your outfield, you know, they can go get it. I know the three guys that were here can all go chase them down. What do you like most about this group of outfielders?
So first off, I think of, you have guys that can go get it defensively. We have some really good arms in the outfield, which you don't see a lot nowadays, especially when you're watching a lot of these games. There's like not a lot of arms that pop off the board in terms of outfield arms. So that's another thing. You have a younger guy, Pineda, who's around a good group of outfielders that can really show him the way and help lead him into, you know, this next phase of his career. Marcus is a really good leader for me in the way he carries himself and goes about his business every day. Jared Carr, who, like you mentioned, was here last year, is a team guy to no end. Like, it's, you see him play, you see the way he runs balls out, you see the way he plays. The way he plays his game reminds me a lot of Chase Utley, just from watching him growing up. It's kind of hard-nosed. He does everything the right way, and he wants to be out there, and he's tough. So having those guys around, and then Schreffler, unbelievable athleticism. Like you said, he was a recent draft pick. He can really go get the ball from all three outfield positions, and then he adds a right-handed bat aspect to an outfield that has a lot of left-handed hitting. So that's a plus for sure.
Back to the podcast in a second. Since 1986, Rich Green Lawns has been the leading lawn fertilization company of the Jersey Shore, providing lawn fertilization, bed weed control, tick and mosquito control, as well as tree and shrub programs. Mention this ad and save 50% off your first lawn application. Call or text us today at 732-370-5963, 732-370-5963, or richgreenlawns.com. And when shopping for appliances, electronics, and mattresses, you want a local hometown team that you can trust. That's PC Richard & Son. PC Richard & Son is a friendly and knowledgeable sales team, installations and repair service you can trust, and the guaranteed lowest prices. So get to PC Richard & Son today. Shop smart, shop local, shop PC Richard & Son.
So we're taping this on Sunday. We walked down to the field together. As we talk about that, your first thing you said was, well, it looks pretty big, which it is, having seen it a few hundred games there. What were your impressions, and what have people told you about the stadium and the way it plays?
Yeah, so, you know, first impression, just from the outside of the stadium pulling up to it, absolutely beautiful. You know, looks like a minor league ballpark in the best way possible. It's a place that looks like could draw a lot of fans, which I've heard that they do. And then you go inside and you see the field. I love, obviously, the way it's set up, and and the look of it. And but yes, like when you stand, you know, kind of the dugout, you look out to the gaps, it looks pretty deep. And I've heard that it plays pretty big in terms of for the hitters, you know, hard to get it out of the yard. So we'll see. Obviously that's great on the pitching side. And especially when it starts off kind of cold, stadiums tend to play a little bigger than they normally do anyways. But I know I'm excited about the hitters that we have. We have some guys with some serious power, and so excited to see what they can do. But really, first impression, the stadium is really cool. Dugout's big. It has a major league feel to it when you're in the dugout with the size of everything and the way that the stands are set up and the levels behind home plate. So it's had a great feel to it, and I'm excited.
You have a lot of guys that that can run, that have a lot of speed. Marcus stole 18 last year. We talked about Baylor at 22 last year. Casey Martin at 17. Jared Carr at 16. And some of those guys missed some time too. So, you know, with full playing time, you're 20 or 30. Do you want them to run? You know, I know you have the new rules with the limited disengagements by the pitcher, the bigger bases. You know, do you want them to run? And are you going to encourage that, green light everybody early in the year? Not everybody, but green light those guys early in the year?
Absolutely. I think it's something coming off spring training that we preach to these guys, being aggressive on the bases. And guys who are fast and have speed and they're base runners know who they are. And they worked really hard at it for the last few months down in Florida. And it's something that, for me, is not going to stop once they get here. They're going to continue to work on it, but they're also going to, it's going to be preached, hey, we're going to be aggressive on the bases. And those guys are going to have the freedom a lot of times to run. And I think one thing that's a staff, we continually teach these guys game situations, times to do it, times to not. We're going to be very prepared as a staff in terms of the information on the opposing pitchers and their times to the plate and the catcher arms and how the middle infielders tag up the middle and everything that you'd want to know and trying to steal a base. And we're going to have all that information for these guys. And then, you know, tell them, go get them. And those are all guys that you mentioned. I don't see why they all couldn't have 20 stolen bases on a season easy. Especially with the new rules and how different things go.
There's a million, there's 18, not a million, almost, pitchers that you have for. So I'm not going to go through all those guys, but I did want to ask you about Tommy McCollum. He won the Bill Giles Award for a minor league spring training standout with the Phillies. They give out two. Carlos De La Cruz, who has spent some time with the Blue Claws, was the hitter, and Tommy McCollum was the pitcher of the spring amongst the Phillies minor leaguers. So what did you see from him, and how did he look in Florida?
So I think the first thing that goes into all that is the work that Tommy did in the offseason coming into camp really showed, and I think it showed to a lot of people in the organization. And part of that award every year is it rewards guys that do that. That it clearly showed in the offseason they put in a lot of hard work to show up to camp ready to go and change things in their body and their physique and their strength to prepare for the next season. That's number one. Two, Tommy exemplifies everything that it means to be a Philadelphia Philly. And when you talk about our standard that we have, that we set for these players, he does everything right. He, on a daily basis, he sets an example with all the work that he does. And on top of that, and the last thing is, he's also a really good pitcher. So in terms of that award, it just doesn't go out to, hey, this is the best pitcher that we have here, and we just give it to him. All those other things kind of go first. And on top of that, Tommy can really throw the baseball. I'm really excited about him throwing a lot of innings for us this year in important moments. So, yes, he for me, it exemplifies the fact that he, you know, shows every day that he's a Philadelphia Philly and does everything right. And he's really fun to be around. So I think you'll see that as it goes along.
There was probably 100 pitchers in camp. So you really got to stand out to get that. And that's great that the Phillies recognize those players. They do it before one of the big league spring training games at Bright House Field, or what do they call it now?
Spectrum.
There you go.
Baycare Ballpark. Sorry.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, you're right.
Baycare Ballpark. Yeah.
We're both in trouble for that one. all right. Among some of these other pitchers, who kind of stood out to you in the spring? You have a wide variety, some righties, some lefties. Some guys are going to start, obviously. Some guys are going to come out of the pen. who kind of stood out this spring?
Yeah, I think one of the guys that I was really excited about, we talked about it before the guys even reported, was Gunnar Mayer. He was a guy that the offseason workout plan and prep and expectations from the organization, he really took to heart, and he came back throwing the ball harder, looking great, put on weight, did everything that he needed to do. And he's very exciting in terms of the body and what they're supposed to look like. He's one of those guys. He's tall, he's lanky, he throws the ball hard, has a mix of pitches that can get guys out. So he's really exciting one for me. Jordy Martinez, he's another guy who throws the ball really hard. And from the left side, his mentality is awesome. He is in attack mode as soon as he gets out there. He was had a great camp and is also going to be a leader on that pitching staff, that we're going to expect big things out of him. I think we have a really good mix, like you said, of some lefties, some righties, some soft tossers, if you want to call them, and then some guys that throw really hard. We have guys that really want to pitch. We have guys that their mentality on the mound is, I'm better than you and I'm going to get you out. And that's what we want. And we have guys that can pitch at any point of the game. We have guys that will pitch multiple innings. We have guys that can open a game. We have guys that can close a game and do multiple different roles. And I think that's what you want to do at this level. Expose these guys to as many different situations as possible, so that as they move up, there's nothing they haven't done yet and they'll be ready for it. And the performance will just come out and they can relax and play.
You don't get too many guys that will make their pro debuts in high A, but Chase Antle will. Just had some bad league time injuries out of the pandemic and then missed a couple years. So when he gets in his first game, that'll be his pro debut, which I assume he must have pitched pretty well in camp for the Phillies to give him that opportunity at this level, when they could have just as easily kept him in the, you know, in the warm weather down there.
Yeah, no, excited for Chase. Absolutely. This is, you know, really great opportunity, and excited to see him compete against another jersey. It was awesome during spring training to see him, you know, throw against the Blue Jays and Yankees and those different teams. But yeah, he's throwing the ball well. He's finally completely healthy, and this is a great opportunity for him to come pitch and show what he can do, and we're excited about it.
Then also wanted to ask about Jordan Fowler. He got a couple
Jay Money. They call him Jay Money.
If you're Jay Money. All right. Well, he pitched great. He was on Tank's team in Adelaide over the winter, and he had a .06 ERA. So he pitched great. He had a couple of weeks at the end of the 2022 season with the Blue Claws, but he spent most of last year in Clearwater, a guy from he's 23 from Tennessee.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so our excited. He's going to be our opening day starter. He knows that already. So that's
not that opening day in Friday in Brooklyn, you mean?
Yes. Yeah
beautiful. Exactly. Beautiful.
So nothing he doesn't know already, but we're really excited about him. Obviously, Tank had a lot of good things to say about the way that he competed in Australia, was able to put him out there, you know, every fifth day. Their series are a little different, but he competed, ended up being one of their main starters, and he attacks the strike zone. He throws a lot of strikes. He changes speeds. He moves the ball around, and he gets guys out. And that's exciting as a manager. You want guys, no matter what their stuff looks like, is to just get guys out. And he does a really good job of that. I think the stuff continually is getting better. He's learning how to pitch on a day-to-day basis, and Phil and Brady will be great with that continued effort with him. And he's a guy that can give you innings. So he's built up. He threw all offseason. He pitched in the championship series in Australia. And now hopefully, you know, he'll be pitching in some key games for us throughout this season.
We're taping this before you play Reading on Tuesday. And I know it's an exhibition game, but it's got to be cool for these guys to get to play the players. And obviously they're all friends, you know, they're friendly and they know each other. But you get to play those guys at the higher level, it's got to mean a little something, right? At least it's a good way to kind of spice up what's a long week before Friday.
Yeah, absolutely, no doubt. And I know they're excited. And I think the guys, we have a team of guys that want to win and competitors. And even though they're other Phillies and they're the Double-A team, there's no doubt in my mind that they're going to come in and want to win that ball game. So that's going to be exciting. Obviously, there's going to be some trash talk and some goofy stuff going on in terms of talking back and forth between not only the players, but some of the staff members, and we're going to have fun with it. And it's an opportunity for these guys to get some game reps in before we open up on Friday. I'm excited to see that and see some of the arms throw against the higher competition.
How many Bishop Eustace people will be there next week at when you get back home?
Could be a few. I know throughout the season we'll see a lot of them, but could be a few definitely opening day, and some local family and friends, and my mom, dad, and brother will be in town. My fiance will be here, so it'll be a good group. So I'm excited.
I know you're not out of high school that long. Was the coach that you played for, is he still there?
Yep, Coach Tropiano. I'll never forget. He's one of the best, and he's still there doing it. And he's built a great program. And
yeah,
I hope he stays there forever because he does a really good job.
They played here in Lakewood in 2020. They canceled the state tournament because of COVID and everything. And then a couple of guys put together this like statewide event, and they ended up coming here. I'm almost positive they for one of their games. What'd you learn from him as you get set now for your managerial debut this week?
From Trope, one of the things that stayed with me throughout my whole baseball career was, one, the work ethic aspect that he, you know, talked about on a daily basis. You know, he was great on staying on top of us with different things. He was preaching professionalism even in the high school ranks, and how to do things the right way on a daily basis. And then I think one thing I take from him out of how he managed and coached us at that level was his positivity and his willingness to help out everybody, no matter what the situation was. And like, he's one of the best people I know, and I'm really fortunate that he was my high school coach. So just those are things, and, you know, treating people the right way, but staying on the guys to work hard and be professionals is stuff that he started with us early in our baseball careers, and it's stuck.
So when we spoke in January, and I know you were super excited to get going in your first chance, so it's coming up this week. Wish you the best of luck. Thanks so much for a few minutes today. Great luck this season. And you are, I think, the fourth person to appear on this podcast twice.
Wow.
Joining Tank, Keith Werman, last year's manager, and Logan O'Hoppe.
It's a good group.
It's a good group. Logan O'Hoppe hit his first big league home run 3 hours ago.
Yeah, he's doing it out there. But one more thing I want to say, and I know we talked about a lot of players throughout this conversation. We didn't talk about all of them, though. And I think one thing just around, like, all these guys are going to play a huge role in this team. And we have a really great group that I'm excited about, and each and every one of them is going to help us win ball games. So they all put in a lot of hard work during spring training. I'm really excited to see kind of what it looks like when we throw it out there on Friday.
And I guess one more thing, your staff. So you have Phil Kandary's the pitching coach. He'll work with Brady Lale, who this is his first coaching job. Brock Stassi, who played here, we found his picture on the wall, former Blue Claws that played in the big leagues. So that'll be cool. And then we talked about Tank a little bit because of the Australian connection. But give the folks a little introduction to your coaching staff.
Yeah, so obviously we talked about Tank, Chris Adamson, the bench coach. He has a unbelievable background in managing in Australia and here in the States. He has a great playing background out in Australia, and he brings it all this experience and knowledge into the staff and to help me in the whole managing process. And he's going to be great with all of our infielders. He's going to do an awesome job with that. He's going to help out Brock with some of the outfield stuff and be there in the cage and the hitting. And I'm just excited for the knowledge and background and information that he can help out with, not only with me, but the whole staff. Phil, pitching coach. So he spent 19 years in college ball, 17 at Seton Hall, 2 at Rutgers as a pitching coach, then the last 3 years with the Blue Jays. And from everything I've heard and looked up, Phil was a great player in his own right, played on the Italian national team. He was an All-American. He was played professionally. Like, he did it all. So he's got all that experience between playing, coaching at different levels and different ranks, and to now being part of the Phillies organization. We couldn't be more happy, and I couldn't be more excited because of everything that goes into a manager and a pitching coach discussions through the game. And he has experience doing that, so that'll make that process even easier. Brock, really excited. His energy and personality is the same now as a coach that it was when he was a player. And when he was a player, he was, you know, a guy you wanted to be around. And
did you play, did your paths cross in the Philly system?
Yeah. So we kind of played, and then I coached them all in the same sort of time frame when I was kind of making that transition from finishing my playing career to coaching. And so we did spend some time together. We actually roomed together on the road at times. So we have that experience, but his knowledge of the game and hitting, you know, that's what he did. He hit, and him learning the Phillies process in terms of teaching it, our philosophies and different things, and meshing that with what he knows and how he can communicate with guys is really exciting, because it's great to see how they light up when they go in the cage and want to hit and want to be around him and want to learn. So that's been great to see. Brady, awesome spring training, first time coaching, and him being around Phil will be great for Brady, but I think also be good for Phil. They bounce back and forth off each other in a great way. They feed off each other on the field and the bullpen, the communication, the way they talk about players, the way they plan things during the day. It's been really fun to see. And I think Brady's going to be another one with where he brings the energy, and he's going to be in the bullpen for the game. So he has that experience of doing that in the big leagues and teaching these guys routines and how to prepare to go in and play. So that'll be really good for that group of pitchers and a lot of the bullpen arms that we have, and having him down there to teach that will be awesome. And, you know, our support staff, we have Meg Flaherty, who was in AAA last year, and she's now the head trainer here. We got Tori Villeman, I believe is how you say her last name, who'll be the assistant athletic trainer. And we got Cody, who'll be our PD associate. And we got Mark Jesse, who I think will be the best strength coach in all the South Atlantic League. He does a great job with these guys in the weight room, on the field, stretching, lifting them, all the different things that he gets them ready for on a daily basis. And obviously our training staff will be great. So I'm excited about the whole staff. You know, it's unbelievable the staff that Preston and that group put together here to surround these guys with, and just ready to go. That's it.
Well, can't wait to get things underway. Thanks so much for a few minutes, and best of luck in 2023. We'll talk to you.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Thanks to Greg Brodzinski for joining us, manager of the Jersey Shore Blue Claws. Blue Claws will open the regular season on Friday in Brooklyn. 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, and 2 o'clock Friday, Saturday, and Sunday up in Brooklyn against the Cyclones on Coney Island. So if you head up there, it's a great spot to see a game if you never have. I know some folks are off this weekend with the Easter holiday coming up on Sunday, so it's a well-recommended trip. Blue Claws will make another one up there in a couple of months, but a good spot to go see the Blue Claws to kick off 2023 in Brooklyn. If you can't make it, you can watch the Phillies and the Blue Claws on MILB TV, home and road game stream live. The only way to watch the Blue Claws at any device this season is MILB TV. Subscribe today to watch over 6,500 games, including all available playoff games from over 100 minor league teams live or on demand. Download the MILB app on the Google Play or Apple App Store to watch on the go. Use promo code BLUECLAWS at checkout to save $10 on a yearly subscription. Visit MILB.TV for details today. And Blue Claws games and all minor league baseball TV games will be on the MLB First Pitch app as well this year. So if you have MLB TV, you can watch minor league games. The only thing you have to do is you have to select the Phillies to watch the Blue Claws games. Select the Phillies as one of your favorite teams, and it'll show up in there. So that's a really cool addition for 2023. You heard Greg, who they call the Bull, you heard Bull say in the interview, Jordan Fowler will start the opener on Friday. He's a 23-year-old, just turned 24, 24-year-old left-hander from Union City, Tennessee. He went to Central Missouri. Philly signed him in 2020. Finished last year with the Blue Claws, just briefly, a couple of games, and pitched very well for Chris Adamson, the Blue Claws bench coach in Australia over the winter. In fact, six members of the Adelaide Giants, who won the Aussie League title with Tank, are here. Fowler's the only pitcher. And then on the hitters, Arturo DeFreitas was there for a little while. He unfortunately got injured, but he was there. Anthony Quirion was there and played really well. Nick Ward, who's an infielder who we talked about from Kennett Square, Pennsylvania, he was there and hit over 340 for the Adelaide Giants. Rickson Wingrove was out there as well. He's been a staple in Adelaide for a few years now. And Jared Carr was there among the outfielders as well. So two catchers, DeFreitas and Quirion, two infielders, Ward and Wingrove, and Jared Carr. So a pretty good group of those guys. They won the Aussie League title for Tank, and it's cool to have six plus the coach, Tank. Chris Adamson is the bench coach. Six plus Chris on hand this year. It's actually pretty wild when you think about it, but pretty cool to see. So Jordan Fowler, Gunnar Mayer, and Matt Osterberg will start for the Blue Claws this weekend, and then we'll see what happens when they come back to take on Greensboro. Tickets on sale now for that game at blueclaws.com/tickets. And, of course, next Tuesday, post-game fireworks as well. That's on April the 11th as we kick off the 2023 season in style in Shorttown. So looking forward to that. Blue Claws roster up at blueclaws.com. Thanks to Blue Claws manager Greg Brodzinski for a few minutes. And thanks to you for listening to Hook, Line, and Splitter, presented by Judge Shaw Injury Law. Hook, Line, and Splitter is a Jersey Shore Blue Claws podcast. Have a great day, everybody. We'll see you in Shorttown, April 11th, for opening night at the Jersey Shore.